This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Let's join Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Proverbs chapters 5 through 9.
Proverbs chapter 5. You know, someone once observed, behind every successful man, there are two women, a good wife and a surprised mother-in-law. Well, that may be true. But Solomon counts two other women in every man's life. Not his wife and mother-in-law, but the immoral woman and Lady Wisdom. And they are both vying for his attention. In tonight's chapter, Solomon tells his son that he should shun the immoral woman at all costs and that he should embrace Lady Wisdom. Chapter 5 begins, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil." In other words, she's like a fly trap. Ever seen a fly trap? There's a sweet substance that attracts the flies, but the moment they land on the sweet substance, wow, bam, the trap slams shut and they're stuck. A fly trap is sweet to the taste, and so is the immoral woman, but once you land on her, you get stuck. She becomes a fatal attraction. Verse 4, "In the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." The word translated wormwood means bitterness. You know, the Hebrews used a poisonous herb to keep moss out of their clothes. And it's the same word used here, wormwood. Solomon is warning his son that kissing an immoral woman is like cuddling up to a box of mothballs. Not a good idea. Understand the deception involved in illicit sex. There is an initial promise of pleasure, but in the end, there's severe bitterness. Here's a quotation that appeared in New Woman magazine. Listen to one lady's heart-rending confession. She says, "I'm 35 years old and have only recently come to terms with the fact that my free attitude about sex has been destructive. After many lovers, 3 serious affairs with married men, 2 marriages, 1 abortion, and herpes, I wish someone had suggested that my casual attitude was wrong." You know, it reminds me of how polar bears hunt for seals. Seals are the polar bear's favorite food. You see, polar bears can hold their breath for incredibly long periods of time, nearly 12 minutes. And so the polar bear will swim up under the ice sheet and he'll start scratching at the backside of the ice. The seals, they hear the noise and they assume it's a school of fish and they think, "Holy mackerel," or something like that. And they dive straight down into the jaws of the hungry polar bear. Hey, sexual temptation, it scratches an itch. It looks fun. It offers an escape from boredom and pressure. And you're tempted to think, there are no consequences to this. No one's going to get hurt. The folks in the movies who do this, there are never any consequences. The end result, though, in real life, is not happiness. It's not blessedness. It's bitterness. It's wormwood. It's mothballs. Solomon continues to describe the immoral woman. "Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them." Beware of this woman's intentions. You know, in the beginning, lust has a strange way of looking like love in the beginning. How often has a girl given in to a man's advances just because he said he loved her? In the end, all he did was use her up and throw her away. You know, a woman won't have a high view of herself if she allows her body to be used by a man for his selfish gratification. What happens to her self-worth when all she becomes is someone's sex toy, a sexual pacifier? No wonder our society today is plagued by a gross lack of self-esteem. People have lost dignity and self-respect because of their casual attitude towards sex. Verse 7 warns, "Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth." You know, teenagers particularly like to learn through trial and error. And yet sex is one place where the stakes are too high. Illicit sex causes great damage physically, emotionally, morally, and spiritually. Teenagers best not learn through trial and error when it comes to sex. It's better that they listen to someone wiser and they learn from other people's experiences and they take heed to God's word. He says, "Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house." This is what he encourages of his son. Stay away from this immoral woman. Don't even get close to her. Don't even go near the door of her house. Guys, here is the golden rule for unmarried male and female interaction. You got this? The golden rule for two people who are not married, who are male and female. Here is the golden rule. You got that? The golden rule. Here it is. Time plus opportunity equals trouble. I'm going to say it again. Time plus opportunity equals trouble. Would you say it with me? Ready? Time plus opportunity equals trouble. Take two normal, healthy people, a male and a female. Give them enough time and provide them enough opportunity and sparks will fly. Hey, it's a given. The two are headed for serious trouble. Take two teenagers, give them enough time and enough opportunity, and there'll be trouble. Give two business associates, one man, one woman, give them enough time, enough opportunity, and there'll be trouble. Give two older people, you know, male and female, enough time and enough opportunity together, and there'll be trouble. And I don't care how committed they are to purity, given enough time and enough opportunity, they won't be thinking spiritual thoughts. They may start out praying on each other, but they'll end up praying on each other. Always remember, time plus opportunity equals trouble. You know, if you're a single guy, I advocate kissing your girlfriend all you want. You guys over here, you feel free to kiss your girlfriend all you want, just as long as the two of you are in front of her mom and dad and her brothers. Kiss her all you want as long as you're in front of her mom and dad and her brothers. Protecting sexual purity involves time and it involves place. Hey, if there's an opportunity, make sure there's no time. And if there's time, eliminate any opportunity. As Solomon says, do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. And here's what's missing from our world's attitude towards sex. Honor has been lost. Things like honor and self-respect and dignity, these are the things that should be at stake when we give away our sexuality. Sexuality is the most important. It's the most intimate part of who we are. It's a part of our identity. Once there was a 4-year-old little boy who went with his dad down the street to see a new litter of puppies. When he got home, he was so excited. The little boy said to his mom, "Mommy, Mommy, there were 2 boy puppies and there were 2 girl puppies." The mother asked how he knew that there were 2 boys and 2 girls. He answered, he said, "Well, Daddy picked them up and looked underneath. I think it was printed on the bottom." You know, our sexuality does say a lot about who we are as people. It shapes our identity. Sex is not, as Lenin said, like drinking a glass of water. Sex is more than a biological function. Sex is the deepest part of who we are. This is why sexual expression is the most intimate statement that we can make to another person, even to ourselves. Your sexuality should be so highly prized and so highly valued that you don't give it to anyone unless they back up their love with a lifetime pledge. It should be worth that. Sex outside of marriage only degrades and cheapens who you are. This is why 1 Corinthians 6 calls promiscuity a sin against your own body. It's a sin against yourself. You're cheapening your own sense of self-worth and who your own sense of self-identity. Notice verse 10. Avoid the immoral woman, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Here's the plight of the adulterous husband. He violates his vow. He betrays his family. Now his expensive alimony and all the child support he's paying out are helping to buy his wife's second husband a brand new boat. Look at the guy. Strangers are filled with his wealth. And nobody here is feeling sorry for you because Solomon warned you beforehand. Adultery comes at a cost. There's another price to pay. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You can get a disease. Illicit sex poses a risk to your health. What an appropriate verse for the era of AIDS. You know, today the spread of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, has reached epidemic proportions. In a March 2008 report from the CDC, we're told that 26% of American women aged 14 to 19 are now infected with an STD. 26%. That's one in four teenage girls now has a venereal disease. Among African Americans, 48% of adolescent girls are infected. That's tragic. That's heartbreaking. Sexual promiscuity takes a toll on your health. It can eat up your body. As Solomon says, mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You know, today's society, we've broken God's laws. We've thrown them out the window, all his laws regarding sex. And what's happening today? We are reaping the results. We have sowed to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind. Here's what our society has said. Solomon, he wrote it right here. How I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my heart to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Notice this, disregard God's law concerning sex and you'll find yourself on the verge of total ruin. I read where the Illinois Department of Natural Resources reported that 17,000 deer are hit by motorists each year in their state. 17,000 deer. And the peak season for deer kill is late fall. And why? That's the mating season. Apparently, the frisky deer are so consumed with sex that they get distracted and they end up becoming roadkill. Well, Solomon is warning us that we too will end up roadkill if we don't learn how to control and honor our sexuality. We need to obey the voice of wisdom. Notice verse 15, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? You know, usually adultery is defined as sex with a person who's married to someone else. But understand, premarital sex is also adultery. You see, sex before marriage is adultery in advance. It's still sex with someone who's not your spouse. You sin against your future spouse when you don't love them enough to reserve yourself for them. Drink water from your own cistern. Don't be an adulterer. Don't look for someone else. He says this, drink water from your own cistern. You know, if your spouse is the only person with whom you've ever had sex, it doesn't matter what kind of kisser they are. It doesn't matter how frisky they get. It doesn't matter the complications that might arise. Nothing dampens your enjoyment because that's all you know. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a great relationship to have. Comparison is the killer. It's what slays love and enjoyment. It's what breeds doubt and discontent. Drink from your own well and you'll always be satisfied. You know, the notion today that you've got to try somebody out before you get married, that you've got to live with them together for a while, is a lie straight from the father of lies. It's not true. Today, 54% of couples who marry shack up beforehand. No wonder we have such incredible divorce rates. You know, the number in 1960 was 439,000 couples were living together. Today, it's over 6 million. And yet, statistics prove that couples who live together before marriage are at a greater risk for divorce than couples who do not. A Rutgers University study says that couples who shack up are 48% more likely to divorce than couples who don't. As Solomon will tell us later in the Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." When will we wise up and learn that God's word is truth? He says, "Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love." Enraptured or intoxicated with her love. And don't be shocked by the language there. Understand, God is no prude. Did you know that God invented sex? Oh my, are you kidding? It wasn't Hollywood's idea. It was God's idea. God invented sex. Don't you be embarrassed here. God isn't blushing. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. You know, God created sex not just for procreation, but for pleasure. If procreation was the point, cell division could have done the trick. No, he created sex because he wants to bring a couple together in a wonderful intimacy and bring pleasure to each other. Sex is for pleasure, not just procreation. It's God's will for you and your spouse one day to have a thrilling and fulfilling sexual life together. God knows that the best environment for uninhibited expression is in the security of marriage. You know, only a married couple can be truly lavish in their lovemaking. I heard of a movie star who appeared on a late night talk show once, and he was asked this question: what makes a great lover? The host was baiting the actor, you know, for some juicy description of sexual foreplay. Instead, this is what the man said: "A great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman all her life long and who can be satisfied by one woman all his life long. A great lover is not someone who goes from woman to woman. Any dog can do that." Well said. He says, "For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." The ways of the Lord are before the eyes of the Lord. You know, Kathy and I dated when she was in nursing school. And she lived in the dormitory, and in the dormitory, in the foyer of the dormitory, there hung a portrait of a man named Sewell. We kind of called him Daddy Sewell. And wherever you were in that room, Daddy Sewell was over you. It was really creepy. Because you would look up, and it was like Daddy Sewell was always watching you when you were there, you know, with your girlfriend in that room. It was strange. Daddy Sewell definitely quenched some of the smooth moves I might have been tempted to try during my courtship with Kathy. It was just creepy. You look at him and, oh, you know, somebody's watching you. You know, I should have realized that it wasn't just Daddy Sewell watching me. Hey, our sexuality is not as private as we think. We're told here that the eyes of the Lord are always on us. He sees us. He watches us, even in the intimate areas of our life. We're told God ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. Your sin will find you out. You know, the Bible speaks of the wages of sin. Sin has a cost. Sometimes the price isn't due until long after the purchase, but it eventually comes due. And chapter 5 closes: "He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray." This man ends up deceived. But chapter 6 begins: "My son, if you become surety, or if you co-sign for your friend, if you co-sign on a loan for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Never co-sign for a debt you were not prepared to pay yourself. He says, so do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend, and go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Solomon is saying that if you've already made this mistake, before you go to sleep, as quickly as possible, try to get out of your obligation. It's not wise. Verse 6 is a famous verse. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Don't you like his tact and subtleness there? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Solomon rebukes the lazy man who refuses to work, or the guy who wants to get rich quick and hit the jackpot. He's after instant wealth. And Solomon does so by pointing to the ant. An ant labors hard and long all summer, storing up food for the winter months. The ant knows to save, and there's no one there telling him what to do. It's an internal motivation. He's doing it for himself. It comes from inside him. He's internally motivated. An ant thinks long range, not just about the immediate consequences, but the ant is saving for a rainy day. And Solomon says, learn from the ant. Work hard. Put some away. Save up a nest egg when you need it. I always tell my kids, there's three things you do with money. You spend some. We all like to do that. We give some. You give 10% back to God, and you give to other people who need it. And then you save some. That's a pretty simple formula. What do you do with money? You spend some, you give some, and you save some. And here we're told that the ant, he saves his money for a rainy day. Apparently, when Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, he wasn't thinking of saving, but hoarding. There's a difference. There's a difference between stockpiling just to show off how wealthy you are and saving for a rainy day. The wise man saves today for tomorrow's expenses. He says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? You'll always lack if you don't get out of the sack. You need to get up and go to work, man. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Hey, if you don't plan ahead, the future will sneak up on you. It'll get you if you don't plan ahead. Verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Now here's a person you should avoid like the plague. He is an expert at double talk. She never means what she says, and she never says what she means. This is the opposite of the straight shooter. This is the person whose body language betrays their verbal language. Oh, they speak, but then they wink. Implied is there's a catch to what they're truly saying, what they really mean. We're told, therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Now, did you know that God can hate? Indeed, he does. You know, 1 John 4, verse 8 tells us that God is love. But there are some things that our loving God just hates.
From March the 10th to the 23rd, I'll be leading a tour to Israel. And we would love for any of our listeners to join us. We'll start at the magnificent theater on the Mediterranean where Paul preached to King Agrippa. And we'll end with worship and communion at the Garden Tomb. In between, it's one exciting adventure after another. Imagine relaxing by the Sea of Galilee one day and floating on the Dead Sea the next. Exploring waterfalls in the Golan Heights and admiring the desert from the top of Masada. We'll spend time in the rock city of Petra and in the holy city of Jerusalem. We'll ride camels, wade through Hezekiah's tunnel, boat across the Sea of Galilee, and study God's word at every turn. Hey, a trip to Israel is like a Bible study on steroids. If you've never been, I encourage you to go. And if you like, you can go with us. Our trip is affordably priced. If you'd like more details, please contact us. Here's Josh to give you that information.
Thanks, Pastor Sandy. Yes, to learn more about this exciting trip, visit sandyadams.org. Again, this amazing trip is taking place March 10th through the 23rd, 2019. We encourage you to contact the church office at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. You can call us at 770-736-2828 or log on to sandyadams.org. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, it's our prayer that you would seek the Lord about joining Pastor Sandy in Israel in March of 2019.